The Lord is good. Thank you, praise team. That beautiful rendition. Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to the presence of God. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. So you're going to experience joy today. You're going to experience healing, salvation, deliverance, according to the will and word of God. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for another opportunity, another day like this, to have fellowship with you and with one another. As we go into your word, I ask that you speak through me as your oracle in the name of Jesus. Lord, and you vindicate your word in the name of Jesus. Let your counsel be established today in our hearts. And let the fullness of joy be our portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, lead my heart to share with you today what Israel ought to do. What Israel ought to do. Some people wonder, Israel so far away, we're in America. Well, you see from the scriptures, the Bible says that we are children of Abraham by faith. Children of Abraham by faith. Find out in Galatians chapter 2. We are children of God by faith. And the descendants of Abraham, they are the Israelites. By faith, we are also called the Israel of God today. Galatians 6. Verse 16. Please, can you put it up? Galatians 6, verse 16. Amen. And as many as work according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. That's talking about you, and it's talking about me. Amen. And that passage we want to read is 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles. When David was to be crowned king, all the tribes were enumerated. They were all there to see the coronation of the new king. And among them, you have the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. In other words, this tribe, they had the prophetic anointing, and God used them to give direction to the people of Israel. If they were going astray from the word of God, God would speak to them. So they understood the signs of the time. They understood the times that Israel were living and what Israel ought to do. You can see the titles from there. What Israel ought to do. In our time, already as we have established, we are the Israel of God. And by prophetic anointing, we ought also to understand the signs of the times. We ought also to know what Israel to do at this time. We are not to be like those who are ignorant of the signs of the times or the end times. But those who know what God is going to do and what God is doing and what God will yet do. Amen. So in the end time, God is again speaking. And of course, we know that Jesus is coming very soon. He's coming very soon. And when Jesus was ministering, he rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees for not being able to discern the times they were living in. They were not able. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 3, let's read it. So, God expects us to understand. The Pharisees didn't understand. They didn't know the time of their visitation, the Sadducees as well. And this is what Jesus Christ had to tell them at that time. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today. At least from the sky, they are able to know that. For the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. If they discern the signs of the times, they would have knew that that time was their day of visitation. They didn't recognize the Messiah. That is why they crucified him. They thought he was just blasphemy by saying he's the Son of God. And by the way, to the Hebrews, if you said you are the Son of God, that means you are God himself. It's not as we say, you are son of Jonathan. You are son of Mr. Jacob. Not in that sense, ordinary sense. But the Jews, they understood. If anybody would claim and say, I'm the Son of God, that person is God. So they understood that they understood that Jesus Christ was born of Mary, and they commonized his background. But they didn't discern that God was visiting mankind. The word Emmanuel means God with us. God was right here with us, and they didn't know it. That is why they crucified him. Because they didn't understand. They didn't discern the signs of the times. So, what Israel ought to do at a time such as this? At a time such as this, the wicked, they are doing wickedly. Children of the evil one, they are doing wickedly. In fact, it's like they are on the rampage everywhere, all over the nations of the earth, not only just in America. Just reading the news, just watching the news. You see, some of them, they don't only just revive, spiritism, wickedness, witchcraft, and demonic activities. They are weak demonic activities. But they also challenge the people of God. They don't even want the people of God to express themselves anymore. They don't want to hear about God anymore. They want to have this way of independence. They want to be independent of God. So that's the times we are living in. What should Christians do? What should Israel do at a time such as this? Are we to keep mute? Far from being what God expects us to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, the word of God says this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. That's what is happening now. In fact, there are too many heresies at this end time. Men of God that you respect, they are doing heretical things. They are preaching heretical doctrines because the Bible says it will be so at the end time. Some people are going astray from the word of God. So it's a delicate time, they are perilous times, and the children of God need to be awake. In Daniel 11, verse 32, this is what it says. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. So that means that it's not only wickedness. The wicked shall do wickedly. So we're expecting wickedness everywhere. What about the people of God? They shall be strong and do exploits. Amen? Yes, that's what God promised us at this time. In fact, in the Isaiah 59, verse 19, we are told that when the enemy shall rise up like a flood, the Lord God will raise up a standard. Amen. So the Lord will not just be sleeping, nor his children sleeping. No. Neither should we be at ease at a time such as this. Oh, it doesn't concern me. There are some Christians, their posture is just watch and see. Just watch. Meanwhile, the people of the world, they are planning a one world government, one world, new world order. Some Christians say, let's watch and see. Let's watch and see. Not inquiry of God what we ought to do at this time. Praise the Lord. So that's wrong signal. There's something going wrong, and children of God are at ease in Zion. Far be it from us. It ought not to be so. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Who are those who understand? The wise. God has wise even among his own children, and people with having the spirit of Issachar. They understand the signs of the time. They shall understand. Amen. What Israel ought to do at this time. The times we are living in is not a time to be lukewarm. If you are a lukewarm Christian, it means you are nonchalant about the things of God. I don't care attitude. Doesn't really matter. Things are happening. The name of the Lord is being blasphemed. It doesn't really matter. To you, it doesn't matter. You're only just concerned about yourself and never about the things of God. That's not expected. In Amos 6:1, we quoted it earlier. Say, woe to them that are at ease in Zion, especially at an hour like this. If we're able to discern the time, this is not an hour to be cold. But it's an hour to be sober and vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour at this time. Much more than ever before. They have campaigns to win souls for the kingdom of darkness at this time. And some Christians are nonchalant about it. They don't even care to win souls as well. Whereas the evil one, they are out there to recruit membership, to pollute food for people, and to pollute children. They have different strategies. They have earmarked, even clothing, everything polluted for the sake of getting people to their own kingdom. That's the kingdom of darkness. The wicked shall do wickedly. They are imagining vain things. While we are at ease in Zion, they are imagining some evil. And tomorrow you see that they come out with something strange, something bizarre, and you wonder, oh, the world has never seen this before. There are some captions, some video clips we get on social media. People wonder, what exactly is happening to this world? The world has gone mad, literally mad. Man, they think a revolt against their maker. And so madness has taken over. That is why they imagine vain things. In marriage, they don't believe in marriage anymore. Believe homosexual marriage. Meaning that they don't even want future procreation. Because if you have homosexual marriages, there'll be no issues, there'll be no children out of those kind of wedlock. So they imagine vain things. And any nation will promote that one. That nation will say, oh, a time will come where we don't have young people again. In other words, other people, they will take over our land because we don't want to give birth to children anymore, having homosexual marriages, where we are not able to procreate. That's another way of looking at it. It's all madness. So in the face of all this, what should Israel do? The world is experiencing global rebellion against God and the people of God. That's exactly what is happening. A rebellion. It is therefore a time to come out of darkness and shine forth as light. Amen. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon his people, and the glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah 61-2. That's what God is doing. God has not abandoned us. By prophetic warning, we know that the times are evil indeed and there's gross wickedness. But God has given us light. It's time to arise and shine. Amen. It's time to arise and shine. It's not a time to sit down. Not a time to be lukewarm. Not a time to be at ease in Zion. That is at ease in the church of God. No, not again. We can't afford to do that. It's too expensive to do that. It is an hour to awake out of spiritual slumber and testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, since it is not God's way that people perish. That's one thing we need to know. What Israel ought to do. With this realization, the enemy is on a rampage. And then we ask for the anointing of the Lord to also manifest the presence and the power of God. Amen? Yes, that's what we need to do. And then to warn people, the unbelieving, to flee from the wrath to come. The unbeliever, they even appear to know that wrath is coming. Wrath is coming upon people of the world. And that is why they don't even want Jesus Christ to come. But whether they like it or not, Jesus Christ will come again. Amen? Because there are some conditional prophecies and there are some unconditional prophecies. One of the unconditional prophecies, irrespective of whatever you pray and do, is that Jesus Christ will come again. Amen? They don't want Jesus to come again. Rather, they are thinking about different strategies, to avoid the judgment of God. Some are thinking of bunkers. They are thinking of submarines wherein they will hide. Some say, I don't think we can do that. We would rather go to space so that when there is judgment upon this world, we will escape it. But what does the Bible say? He will plug them down. Even though they go up like the stars, he will bring them down to judgment. So we that know better, Jesus Christ is coming again. In the second coming of Christ, you can see it in two phases. The first phase is the rapture, the translation of the saints. Every eye will not see him. But the aftermath of the rapture will be felt all over the world. Because when Jesus Christ comes for his saints, he takes them up to himself. After that, judgments determine upon this world system during the Great Tribulation. Thank God the same Lord Jesus Christ is compassionate and he has given us a way out. That's why in Luke 21:36, he said we should watch and pray so that we are counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the world. Judgment is coming upon the nations. If you don't know, please know that. What Israel ought to do. Your prayer. You have to pray aright. Pray for children of God to be ready for the rapture. As for the world, you cannot reverse it. Evils are determined upon the nations. But there is a way of escape. Amen. That's why Luke 21:36 is there. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. The time of the great tribulation is a time of wrath. God's wrath against the people of the world, against those who are persecuting children of God right now. It's not the final judgment, it's not the white throne judgment, but it's a time of judgment for the people of the world. And that is why you Christians should not be afraid of the great tribulation. Because your God, my God, is the one coming, even with the rapture sense, toward the end of the great tribulation, to judge the Antichrist system. So the tribulation is not meant for us. Rather, Israel that rejected God. It's a time, however, God will call out people there. He will reconcile to them. After the rapture, the times of the Gentiles will have been fulfilled, and then God will go back to the Jews. Amen. Yeah, but for us, there's a way of escape. Like it was in the days of Noah. Did Noah perish in the flood? No. But for so long, he was warning the people. For 120 years, Noah was preaching, and people mocked at him and said, have you ever seen rain fall? Just have you ever seen? There was no social media at that time. Have you ever dreamt that rain will fall? But what you are telling us is that water will cover the earth. It was a big joke to them, to the poor of the world. They rather laughed at Noah. But we know that that man was wise. He feared God and he found favor in sight of God. And so what he did, he prepared an ark, the saving of his household and all those who would listen. Unfortunately, people did not listen to him, only members of his household. Noah and several others were saved at that time. Again, God is preparing an ark right now, the ark of salvation. Danger is coming. Run into the ark and be saved. What's the ark of God at this time? Jesus Christ himself. He has made himself available to us. He has offered himself as the supreme sacrifice for our sins, and he's our redemption. So if we put our trust in him, it's like we have entered the ark. Are all your family members in the ark right now? That's a question. What Israel ought to do? Israel ought to be concerned about the perishing, especially starting from their own household and families. Your beloved brother, your beloved sister, your siblings, and your parents that you lost so much, are they in the ark right now? You need to be very concerned about them. God does not desire the death of a sinner. Praise the Lord. In days of Noah, there was so much wickedness. God saw in Genesis 6:5-6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, the thoughts of the heart, were only evil continually. He repented God that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. If you are a sincere Christian, you have that same feeling like God. God, what is going to happen? What is happening? Will people just rebelling against God? What are you going to do, God? What's going to happen? Judgment are the upon the nation. But for children of God, Jesus coming is our joy. If you are afraid that Jesus is coming, it means you need to be born again. Praise the Lord. Because for children of God, they rejoice that Jesus Christ is coming. That's why they even pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. It says, comfort one another with these words, that the Lord is coming. It should be a word of comfort. When you hear that Jesus is coming, you shouldn't be afraid, but you should be comforted that at last Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, is coming for me. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus will surely come, amen? Whether anybody likes it or not, he will come to take us to himself. What about the days of Noah, like we said, was so evil. Right now, we need to stand out and warn the people of the world to repent. Enter the ark of salvation. And also, Since there's so much evil, right, left, and center, the temptation is to join them is there. So if you can't beat them, you join them. But what has God said concerning the issue? Since there's so much evil, so much corruption, he has given us this counsel. Philippians 2, verse 15. This is God's counsel to us. Even in the midst of a wicked and perverse nation such as this, we are to shine as light, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's what Israel ought to do now. Instead of compromising, say, look, everybody is going this way, let's join them. No. Single yourself out as children of God. Cry out against evil, against the wickedness of the day, and don't compromise. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? That's what God expects us to do. It's a time to shine. Light shines brightest when it is darkest. When it is dark in the night, you know, maybe 7 o'clock now, it's still daylight, longer days. But when it becomes 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, it becomes darker and darker. The light you put on at 7 o'clock may not appear to have been shining bright. But the darker the night, you find out, the light is so bright now, so bright, so bright. So the darker, the brighter the light will be. Amen? That's what God expects of us. We should be so close to him and anointed and be threshing, will be instruments of God to turn people from wickedness into the kingdom of God at this time. We should shine forth the light that God has given us. It's time to arise and shine. It's by the power of God, it's not by your own power. But have a willing heart to do that, and the Lord has given us the enablement, the power of the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 2, verse 13, it says, For God, he that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that way of expressing that is that God gives you the desire to serve him exceptionally and the power to do the same. He's not only giving the desire to live a holy life, exemplary life, but the power has been given. You have the power. Every child of God, we have the power. Amen. In Ezekiel's day, something happened. There was wickedness in the land of Jerusalem. Even in the temple of God, there was so much abomination going on. Again, God wasn't happy. God is always vexed with evil things. He loves sinners quite all right, but he hates sin. So when he found that something was going wrong, you see, and people were not even concerned, it's as if, you know, everybody wants to just join them. But there were some people who distinguished themselves. These people, they sighed and cried. Ezekiel 9, verse 4. They sighed. Now, they sighed and cried. Cry has to do with intercession. They cried out against injustice, against the evil of the land. What are you doing? Are you just keeping silent? All these wicked people, they are doing this, and you can't even express an opinion because you are afraid of what they will say. So, are we permitting them to continue in their evil? If they say, Christians, shut up, we just say, okay, yes, sir. But witches and wizards, they are exhibited. They are coming out in the open. Occult people that were not known in Tampa because they are called occult, because they are hidden. Their works are in darkness, so they are occult people. Now they are coming out in broad daylight, manifesting. Then children of God, we are to cave in, God forbid. Amen. Yes, so it's time to sigh and cry like those people in time of Ezekiel. What happened to those people that sighed and cried? God put a mark upon them. There was an icon writer. And that man, God told him, to put a seal upon the heads of all those who sighed and cried. Can see? And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof. So we should sigh and cry against the evils of the day, beside the one I mentioned earlier, which we are going to expatiate on, to tell others to enter the ark. We should sigh and cry against this evil. We should not keep mute and say, oh, what next? What next are they going to do? That shouldn't be our posture. We should pray, we should intercede for God to save the perishing. And also even to change their heart, if possible. But you see, they are determined to do evil. God is determined to do good for you in Jesus' name. Yes. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, we are told that in this evil and perilous time, God has not called us unto wrath, but unto salvation. Yeah, that's God's plan. There's evil in the land. How people can be saved, that's what God is concerned about. Praise the Lord. And God is not going to do everything by himself, but is going to expect us, who are his ambassadors, to do something on his behalf. Praise the Lord. Yes. So what does God expect of you? Ezekiel 33, 6 to 7. This one is important for us to know. In fact, this is the heart of the message. What we need to do, what Israel ought to do. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpets, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word my mouth and warn them. Praise God. What God was saying there, that look, if danger is coming to a nation or a land, and you, watchman, you know what watchmen do? You know, they are careful to maintain security in the premises and order. So we are, Ezekiel was regarded as God's watchman. And by extension, we too are God's watchmen. Why? Because he has delegated us. He has made us his ambassadors. He has given us ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Everyone, he has made us to be ministers of reconciliation. So that we warn the people. But like Ezekiel was told, if he did not warn the wicked, and the wicked die in their sin, God will require their blood from his hand. May the blood of our unbelieving religion not be required in our hands in Jesus' name. But it's a great responsibility. If you have always been mindful about your own business, you don't really care, I'm saved, I thank God. Even if they hate me and others in my family, but he say, I don't care so much about them. In fact, because I cannot work with them and they don't like me, so I kick them over, I cut them off. Is that the attitude Israel should have at this time? No. Have mercy, have compassion. With your worst, you know, you can save. I mean, by the power of God, they can be saved. But you have to tell them, whom do you expect of God to use at this time? Oh, I know he has angels. God, send your angels. But you see, we are better than angels in one way. Let me tell you why. When angels sinned against God, especially those that sinned against with Satan and others, God cast them out with Satan. Did God give them opportunity to repent? Huh? Did God make provision for their redemption? But when man sinned, God said, no, I made them in my own image. Even though this one has happened, God made a plan. And he executed that plan. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came and died on the cross for you and me. That's what God did. Did God do that for any angel? No, never. But for us human beings, he did that. We have experienced salvation. Angels have not experienced salvation like we have experienced. So we are in better position to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And besides, by command, he has told us to do exactly just that. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. So, we are the people that should make the difference. Amen? Preach the gospel. Because, can you imagine where you will be right now if you are a believer? If somebody had not told you about Jesus, where would you have been right now? Just think about it. So God used somebody to talk to you. It's therefore mandatory and necessary that God uses you to talk to somebody else so that those people will enter the ark of salvation as well. Some of you are here, you may not have won souls since you were converted, but I think that's not good enough. There needs to be change of heart. Amen? Yes. Yield yourself as a vessel that God can use in these end times. Some people are getting discouraged, even Christians, saying that, they'll be saying, Jesus is coming. Where is he now? Even right from the days of the apostles, he's coming. But if you are sincere, you find that it's true, there'll be signs over the ages and time. But this time, everything is going to its own zenith. Everything is going to the maximum. And we know that we are nearer that time than when the apostles were here. Praise the Lord. Amen. While I was with them, I kept them. That the world would not swallow them up. So like, if you and I preach the gospel to our relations, to our friends, to our associates, and they refuse to believe, then they will suffer the penalty for sin, but their blood will not be required in your hands, in your workplace, in your community. We have responsibility to do that. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, he had made us able ministers of the New Testament. You are able. Don't belittle yourself. Say, I don't even have the power to witness. I don't hear. God has given you the power. You have the Holy Spirit. And he has called you able ministers. What else do you want God to do for you? You are already equipped just as you are. Praise the Lord. Yes, so as for Apostle Paul, he declared the word of God to everyone. In Acts chapter 20, verse 20, you know what Paul did? Paul did not spare any opportunity to preach the gospel. From house to house, Paul will knock. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you in the ark of salvation? Paul did that. With the apostles. That is why their blood, the blood of those who did not get saved, would not be upon their hands. Actually, he said this in Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? Because he preached the good news to everybody. He labored night and day to spread the good tidings. He did hide the word of God from anybody. The social media is available for us to use to preach the gospel. I found that most of us, just to show forth holy celebration and all that, and some other things, hardly to preach the gospel. That's a wonderful tool God has given to every one of us that we should use to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. We should not see the social media as something to be used by the unbelievers alone. Children of God should use it. I use it a lot. Praise the Lord. And I encourage you to do the same. Be ready at all times, in season and out of season. 2 Timothy 4:2, to preach the gospel. Now, we are gradually coming to the end of the message. Let's talk more about witnessing. We talk so much about witnessing. What really is witnessing? Let's define it in simple terms. Witnessing simply means telling others what the Lord has done for you, what you have experienced of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's witnessing. Ben Hinn defined witnessing as this. See, witnessing is telling others about the forgiveness, love, deliverance, empowerment, fruitful life, and ministry that you have found in Jesus. Not something else. Something you have experienced. You have experienced salvation, so you can tell somebody about how Jesus saved you and how Jesus Christ can save them too if they believe. Just like that. Simple gospel. Amen? Yes. So witness is not a complex thing. At this time, I want the media department to show a video clip. You just watch it, listen to it. Why we witness for Christ? Number one, witness is simply means telling others what we have personally experienced of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also means obeying the word of God, because Jesus commanded us to preach the good news, tell the good news. Amen? Yes. And we are the branches. Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. We should go for and bring forth much fruit, so that our fruit will abide. Because we are branches, we should bear fruit. If we don't bear fruit, then we are fruitless branches that have no importance to the kingdom of God, but it ought not to be so. Unbelievers need to hear the gospel. Romans 1:14. This is what Apostle Paul said. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. We owe it a debt to the people of the world who are not yet saved to tell them. Tell them about the good news. Preach the good news. Don't be ashamed. Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Amen. Depopulate the kingdom of Satan by preaching the gospel. When a soul is won to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan is minimized. They have lost people. That's what it means. That's why anytime we go out witness, we know we are on a battleground. We are taking the battle to the Satan's territory to win souls for the kingdom. Please do likewise. Praise the Lord. Yes, let's listen to this song. Lord gave me this song last night at about 12 a.m. I was already dozing, but I don't know how this song just came, especially the chorus. When did I hear this song anytime? I begin to imagine. I can't even figure it out, but it was real. I therefore went and Googled it and got the song. Please, can you play it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. First saw the light, it was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day.
the cross, the face of the life, and the body of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. The cross where I first saw the light, and the body of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the body of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, I'm now happy all the day. Amen. It was at the cross. For me, 50 years ago, I remember, I was a sinner. Jesus, Lord Jesus, help me, help my brothers. We've heard your word, oh God. And we have a responsibility at this time, oh Lord, to tell others about you. Is there anyone, you are here, you don't yet know God, you are not born again. You are not sure, not very sure you make it heaven. Please, just indicate by raising up your hand, I'm going to pray for you. The same Jesus Christ who saved me can save you. Is there anyone who wants to know the Lord, you want to be sure? Okay, we are all believers. The responsibility, what God expects us to do now, is that don't just be satisfied, I'm a Christian. Tell others about Jesus. Again and again, I've said it and I keep on emphasizing. Don't expect that only pastors should do that, or apostles, or prophets, or bishops. No. Every believer, including you, since you're a believer already, you have an obligation. If you don't do it, if those people die and they go to hell, their blood will be required at your hand. That's exactly what it means. But I don't want anybody's blood to be required at my hand. And that is why I should warn members of my family. And that is why you too should do the same. Noah warned members of his family. Lot warned members of his family. The grace to say that saved you is enough to save your family members. Amen. So please, we have talked about this. We have said that we should come out of darkness and abide in the light of Christ. The light of God is shining bright now. We should come out of spiritual doldrum. We should come out of lukewarmness. We should not be at ease at a time such as this. The evils of the day, we need to condemn them. But don't stop at that. Pray against them and intercede for people's deliverance. But don't stop at that. Take the good news. Because there are some people who think that, oh, I think all that is necessary for me to live a good life, you know, an exemplary life, and others will come to know Jesus through me. Partly true. But Jesus Christ wants us to verbally express, tell others about the good news. People did not keep quiet. They told you about Jesus, and that's why you're a believer today. You should go and do likewise, starting from today. Amen. If you believe this message, if God has spoken to your heart, please do that. We are expected to tell people that Jesus is coming soon. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are to put on the character of Christ as well. We are to live exemplary life because we are the light of the world and we are the salt of the earth. When there's so much rottenness in the society, what will salt do? Salt normally preserves. And so we should preserve morality in our time, in our family, by conduct, by what we do, and by what we say as well. Amen. Let us be salt indeed. Let us be light indeed. Is there anyone you have physical challenge, you need healing? Just raise up your hand. We're going to pray. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Just like the Bible says, no one should say, I'm sick in Zion. Everybody is well. Praise the Lord. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, but there are people out there, they are experiencing different kind of problems, some kind of depression. When they look at the world, they are afraid. In fact, the Bible says, men's hearts shall fail them because of the things that are happening at this time. But your heart will not fail you in Jesus' name. You are a Jesus person, Jesus woman, Jesus representative. You are an ambassador of Christ. And instead of being depressed, you are to set the captive free in the name of Jesus. May the Lord help each and every one of us to be able ambassadors. In fact, Christ has said we are able ambassadors to take our position and preach the gospel to every creature. May Lord God bless you all in Jesus' name.